Father in heaven, we thank you again for the day. We thank you for the precious word of God and for the songs of the Lord. Sometimes it blesses our heart. And I believe it helps set the table for the spiritual bread to be given. As we exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Take your Bible, if you will, and turn to Psalms chapter 42 with me to start with. I have a number of places I want to read and then give you the text. And I believe it'll be a blessing. I preached a message back a few months ago on the subject of this, but not the way that source of what we're talking about. As a matter of fact, I'll just give it. I'm talking about contentment. And I preached a message a few months ago about contentment, but I want to preach this morning on God is my source for contentment. And I see, in New Testament, records of what God's people do and learn to do in life in turn that brings contentment. Because if you be honest, life itself don't bring much contentment. We have it in spec because contentment is just simply being satisfied in situations. There are things that we are blessed with at times, there's things we feel good, but I guarantee you that life has so many troubles in it and problems in it that it's a short live of having happiness or contentment, and yet we can have it, and we learn from the scriptures what God says about it. And if you look with me over in Psalms chapter 42, we see some information, instruction to the sons of Korah. And I'm going to just read a few verses out of it, like verse 5. And think about this. Notice, and I love this in the Psalms, because David is a tremendous one to read and see how he approaches God in his prayer and where he's at and what he asked God and the things he said. Well, this says the same way. Notice in these verses, there is a knowledge of knowing that God is the source. But that doesn't change the fact that they're not in the middle of circumstances. And so notice, he says in verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. Why should yet praise him for help of his countenance? Now, to start with, he talks about, Lord, why am I cast down? Why am I like this? Why am I disturbed? Why I find myself in this situation? When you talk about the word disquieted, it means uneasy in mind, disturbed, restless. Why am I in a turmoil with all the things that I'm facing? Yet on the other hand, he says, I know my hope's in God, for I yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Then he said, oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of the Jordan and the Hermonites and from the hill of Miser. That's the reason I believe with all my heart, history has a way of giving us something to look back at the path where God has brought us. And if I've been faithful in the past and I face something now, I can go to the past and God will remind me, and he was good for me back there, he'll be good for me now. He was with me back there, he'll be with me. He supplied my need back there, he'll supply my need now. And that's what this psalmist said here in these instructions to the sons of Korah. He said, my soul is cast down within me, therefore I remember thee from the land of Jordan and the Hermonites and the hill Miser. Look in verse 9. I will say unto God, my rock. He knows who he's standing on. He knows who he's believing. But I'm going to say unto God, he's my rock. But notice he said, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I warning about of the oppression of the enemy? And as with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me. While they say unto me, where is thy God? In other words, in his heart, he's saying things to God that's positive. But in action, he's showing that somehow or another he's cast down. He feels down. He feels disturbed. He's disquieted. And he said, and when people in life see me going through these, they all make sense. Where is your God at? You believe in God? Where is your God at? It's the way that Satan uses, because people only see outside. They don't see inside of what's going on for God. And then notice he said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Verse 4, chapter 43. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. Deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For thou art the God of my strength. Notice this. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. He, Jesus Christ, is our light today. He's also the truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me into the holy hills and to thy tabernacle. That's the place where God's presence was at. On the Ark of the Covenant and beyond the veil into the most holy place. is where it was set in the midst of Israel, and in turn God's presence was there, and he recognizes God's presence here. He said, "Out to thy hill," he said, to thy tabernacle. "Then I'll go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy, yea, upon the harp, and I'll praise thee, O God, my God." I'm glad. I think we see the day. We don't go to the tabernacle like the Old Testament. It's not there anymore. We don't have the temple like the Old Testament. It's not there anymore. But we have the house of God. Amen. The age of grace. And the age of grace is equal to what he's talking about there. Where God's people get to help. I'll tell you, it's where this book is preached. And when we come together in like faith and realize that every one of us in the same boat, in this life. Life dishes out to all of us many times, many things, and sometimes seems like worse than other times. Then he goes on and he said, "Why art thou cast down again?" He said, "Well, then I'll go to the altar of God and my exceeding joy, yea, the harp, I'll praise thee, and O God, my God." Then he says again, even at the top of praise, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my counsel and my God." Now, I realize this is Old Testament, and they didn't have exactly what we have because the Holy Spirit did not live in David. The Holy Spirit did not live in these sons of Korah. God's Holy Spirit just came, and his witness, his prophets, whoever they were, gave information about God, and they saw the history, and they put things in place and know that God was there, and therefore they worshiped God through the system, which was the tabernacle and the temple where the presence of God would be at. But when we get to the New Testament, we have an advantage. We have the full complete record of God's word. We have the complete of the coming of the Messiah. We have the Savior who's come and died and rose again and going back to the Father. And in turn, we're in him and he's in us. And so Paul comes along talking about some of the same thing, but he says a little bit different in Philippians chapter 4 in verse 8, 9, and 10. Notice, "Finally, brethren," sake of time, I'll just say some words here, and you can read the rest later. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, and pure, and lovely, and good report, be of virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things, those things which you have both learnt and received and heard, and not only that, seen in me, do those things." He's talking about, "And the God of peace will be with you." Isn't it amazing? There's many times that God's word comes to us. We see or hear what to do. We know what to do. We see others doing it. And he says, that's where you get the contentment. As you obey God, you don't have revelation sometimes to see what's happening. You just see the objects of things around you. But you have faith to know that God's behind the scene. And faith is the substance of things hoped for and everything's not seen. So you trust him by faith. Many times when people disobey God, they'll trust him by sight. And therefore get out of the will of God and don't even know it. And they find then they become settled where they're at. It's like Egypt settling in, and the Israelites while they were in bondage. And when they got out of bondage, then all of a sudden they wanted to go back to that because they couldn't read what was happening to them as they headed toward the land of Canaan. And of course, that's another subject. But he said, "Not that I speak of respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." Well, that's an amazing thing. We'll come back to later. He said, "I know how to obey. I know how to be poor." That's what it means. "I know how to abound. I know how to have plenty. And everywhere in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer." Paul knew what it meant to be wealthy at times, to have nothing at times. And yet he said, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." Amazing, amazing. Well, isn't that an amazing thing? All things, it means all things? Yes, it means all things. Well, if it's all things, I'm sinning, then still be pleased, isn't it? No. Well, that's all things. Ladies and gentlemen, the context here is talking about Jesus Christ. And when I read that, I say, I can do all things, listen, through Jesus Christ. I do all things that I need to do for Christ's sake, through Christ, which strengthens me. That's the context here is talking about what God is talking about, righteousness, not unrighteousness. It may see somebody go and find a little scripture and say, "Isn't that amazing? Well, hey, well, I can do this and help God along." He don't need your help. He don't need my help. But I'm glad he chooses to use his people. And that's the way it does in the age of grace. And then I see the last thing I want you to notice in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Of course, this is the writer said there, let your conversation be without covetous, and also be content with things you have. In other words, he just said, don't be covetousness, but be content with things you have because they come from God. Now, my subject, God is the source for my contentment. God is the source of my contentment. That is, being satisfied. Paul said, I've learned to be content. It amazes me. One person said, in a 24-hour period, most people spend at least 8 hours a day working. Then those same people spend 8 hours a day spending more than they actually earn while they're working. And then those eight people that's left, the 8 hours that are left for those, he said, they wondering why they can't sleep at night. Well, one thing is for sure, things don't bring contentment. It may bring a little joy, but contentment God talks about is something that is, you see, is sufficient inwardly. In Psalm 63, turn there if you will, I want you to notice this. Here's the psalmist of David. And David, it said something like this. He said, thus I will bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied. That is, if you're satisfied, you're contented. There's contentment in satisfaction. He said, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watch. I love that because I spend a lot of times at night in the night just talking to God. I don't know if you do that, and I hope you do, but I don't know, there's something about it. Just when I wake up, that's a good time. I feel like when I sleep some and I wake up, I'm the freshest I'll be during the day. And I've said, Lord, if I'm going to give you anything, I want to give you my freshness. When I'm really fresh in mind of thinking, because right now my mind is deteriorating fast. By the way, so are yours when you start getting old. That's right. There's something about it. I can't understand it. They say, use all the, I've tried everything. I know that when it comes time for your mind to start slipping, it's going to slip. The only thing can change is to get a glorified body. Wow, that's a sign that God has showed us these are not our final home. We're going to a better place. And so here he goes on. When I remember thee of my bed, meditation, he said, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings I will rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. I love that. God is my source for contentment. In the New Testament, Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, for I have learned in whatsoever state therein I to be content. Therefore, I believe that it's God's will for his children to be content. But you have to learn it. And maybe that's some reason God puts us through such tests that we go through. It's something we have to learn. Because why is that? Because we live in a selfish world. We feel that if we can get one more thing, that'll make us happy. And we get one more thing and one more thing, we have a spell of happiness, it's gone, and we think because, well, whatever that reason, the next one will give it to me. And we're constantly moving forth in life as we think about that one more thing, that house, that car, that raise, that joy, that pleasure, that medal, that retirement. And then suddenly you get there and you know, I just need another house. I need that one more car. I need that other raise. I need that other job. If this don't work, I need something I like better. I don't like this, whatever. And we're constantly finding ourselves moving in selfish move. And maybe there's nothing wrong with that if God is first. I believe you can be anywhere God wants you to be if he's first. And be where God have you be. I believe that. And so in time, but these things get in the way. We are grasping and searching, even seeking for elusive things that one calls happiness and will never define it for long. There's nothing as empty as an empty as a self-filled life. And Solomon in Ecclesiastes 1 verse 2, Solomon refers to it as life being void, as a vanity, as a vexation of spirit, never gaining that brings solid happiness. There are 3 points quickly on God is my source for contentment. The first thing I know is this, and I hope you have seen this. If you've lived long, I know you have. Contentment is an inside sufficiency, not an outside getting. There's something about the pride of life causes the more we get, the more we want. And I don't care who we are, we are that way. But this that God is talking about is an inside self-sufficiency. Paul in Philippians 4 said that he had learned to be content. So happiness and contentment are not to remember where I live or how much I have or how much I own or even if I have treated in life. Circumstances did not cause Paul's contentment. Because at this time, at Philip, he's writing to the Philippians, he's in jail. For what? A crook? No. For serving God. He's arrested by the Romans. They didn't have a law to arrest him by. He hadn't broken the law. And yet he was in jail. Paul shows us that we may not have control over the outside, but with God's help, we do have control over the inside, and the internal sufficiency overbalances our inconvenience on the outside. So Paul was in prison while he wrote this to the Philippians. And he said, listen, whatever has happened to me, I've learned to be content. I want to learn what he said, because I'm not got there yet, folks. I'll be honest with you. That makes you think, yeah, I need less than a pastor. I'm not got there where I'm content with everything. I need God's help. Amen. Thank you, brother. And I guarantee if I see you hard, you need God's help too. And I recognize that. Maybe it's because I've been in the scripture more lately. Paul said, I can be beaten, I can be hated, I'd be forsaken, I'd be alone, I'd be broke, I'd be hungry, I'd be put in a dark, damp, cold jail, and I'm still content. Man, I need to know what he had. You said he had the Lord. Yeah. I had the Lord for almost 60 years too. But I still find myself sometimes heavy loaded and asking God, please help me. I don't understand this. Please help me. And I'm sure you do too. And so I see that poor health. Paul said, I had poor health and flat broke and looked forsaken, no future, about to die. And Paul was incarcerated, as I said, as a criminal, yet he had done nothing wrong according to Roman law. Yet Paul said he was content. Then my question, and this is where I come from with this message, what had Paul learned? I thought I've learned a lot of stuff in my life, haven't you? I've been through a lot, folks, and I'm sure you have. You got the age, you have too. What did he learn? Paul learned that contentment came by knowing God, and we see that in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. He says that I may know him, but I go back to verse 8 and see to start with. He said this, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. He said, I count everything I have lost just to know the excellence of Jesus Christ. He said, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung. Boy, that's a strong thing. I count everything I've lost but dung. Absolute nothing, filth, nothing. Could we do that? I imagine we'd say a few times at night, if we lost some of the things like the loss down in Mexico Beach, I think they call it, down in South. He said that he had that done that I may win Christ. And then he said that I may know him. How? In the power of his resurrection. And he said, in the fellowship of his suffering, being even conformable to his death. Whatever it is that Lord saw fit for him to see, he's willing and able to go through this. Paul had said, I have learned the hard way to trust God. My situation doesn't regulate my satisfaction in the physical life. He said, I have learned this. That is, Paul has said, this type of commitment is not born in you. And I said to myself, and I've got this, that means simply my mother and dad, Thor and Corey Ennis, could not give me contentment just because I came from their womb. I had to learn it once I came out in this wonderful world we're living in called time. And that's a learning thing that's gradually, and as we serve God, we see what Paul is talking about to some degree. He said, I've learned the hard way to trust him. He said, when it comes down to the physical life, except having a right relationship with God. If I got a right relationship with God, and I know I have that biblically, then there's something about that God will bring sufficiency inside when outside is turmoil and give us ability to, what is it that strength that gives people sometimes when they face the most tragical thing in the world and yet all of a sudden it looks like there's a halo about it. There's something different. They handle it different. This is what Paul is talking about here. Again, Paul had just been accused by authorities. He's treated as a common criminal rather than a Roman citizen. And yet, while Paul was bound in prison, he was more freer, hear me, than many of us are. Paul is saying he's more freer in the dungeon than we are out here in the world. Because we're still grasping for that which is needed. Paul said, I can't get to grasp anything. I just have to serve God. And what a peace comes on my heart when that happens. So he said, I've learned this. Though after God delivered the children out of Egypt, Israel out of Egypt, he had began the process, of getting Egypt out of them. They had learned to literally depend upon God in the wilderness, not Egypt. When they were in Egypt, they had their place, they had their freedom to some degree. They worked, they 400 years raised up in bondage. And then they had learned to trust the system. And when God brought them out of Egypt and led them to the promised land, he had to get Egypt out of them before they got there. And it proved that because every one of those who were 20 years and older died before they went into promised land, so the new group would come in with a new look and look at who God was. He got Egypt out of the vicinity by taking those who had Egypt in them headed to the promised land out. Better move on. I guess that hits a nerve, but I'm going to tell you that's the way it was. Hey, when God put himself in the center for them in the tabernacle, and that's where God's presence was, they didn't move except when he wanted them to move, and he wouldn't let them move until things were met in his condition. And here we see a generation of people raised in Egypt not able to go and get inherit the promise that God promised because they rebelled at Kadesh Barnea and refused to go in and listen to the report of 10 spies, which are out of their group, rather than 2 spies, which told them what God would have them to hear. So here Paul was bound in prison. Though a thought came after that when God delivered the children of Egypt, I often wonder why in the world did he let them to wander 40 years in the wilderness? And evidently, he was trying to get Egypt out of them because they couldn't go into a pagan land from a pagan land and worship God unless the pagan land before was out and they knew who God was. Boy, God has a mastermind. He may tell us something in that examples of that, why he deals with us once in a while in this life. They'd rather stay with a familiar mindset because it felt normal than choose the normal rather than the new Canaan God had promised. It is not that the way we act sometimes? Now, Paul himself expresses freedom in Philippians 1, 22-25. Freedom from what? Freedom from fear. He said, I don't care whether I die or live. He's not been sarcastic here. He says, if I die, I know this, I'm going to see Christ. And I'm going to see the one I've served in my life, sister, Road to Damascus. I'm going to see those who have been won to the Lord and Jew and Gentiles since I was saved on the road to Damascus. I'm going to see those God has seen me on the other side that have reaped in the harvest of souls. But he said, if you leave me here in this life, I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. What is that, Paul? Winning souls since I was saved on the road to Damascus. Or trying to win souls. Nobody can say, it doesn't matter where I live or die. If I live here, I'm going to serve God on the other side. I'm going to see those that I've served him for already. But you know, you say, man, he's just trying to be sarcastic religious. No, he's real. He's letting us know God is real, not like we look at him sometimes. God's word is true. And when you walk, when you see that. And then he said, if you leave me here, I'll just keep on winning souls. Chapter 2, he said, freedom from my own flesh. I don't have to prove anything. I'm doing the will of God in Jesus Christ. In verse 5, in chapter 4, he comes up, I read to you. He said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. Verse 13, and then he said, my God shall supply all you need according to his riches and glory, not according to man, but according to the Lord Jesus Christ. So these verses are probably the most famous verses that you have in the Bible. And I know the one who knows the need. So even when you and I have contentment at times, when you have contentment, nobody has to remind you to rejoice. Paul refused to live in the prison of resentment. As you look at it, it's like that Joseph said, you remember in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, a few months ago, I preached a message, and Joseph said to his brothers, after he had been through all that way of getting him to Egypt, so Israel could get down there later, he said it, but as for me, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto me good to bring to pass as is this day to save much people's lives. He said 50 years went by, and God did something to show that it's going to happen to save people's lives years later. Aren't you glad God sees the end from the beginning? Aren't you glad if you're in his will, wherever that, someone would say, well, he lived in Lydon County and thing. God said, wait a minute, I saw more than you saw. Listen, now this is so different. I thought Paul learned that if one happens, is wrapped up in things. The Bible says those things will be destroyed. 2 Peter 3:10 through 13 shows us that everything in this life is going to be destroyed. If happiness is wrapped up in someone, then your happiness might be as long as that person lives. I know I thought Barbara and I, in this message, when we got married, we both had a job. Didn't make a whole lot, but we both had jobs, both had money. But I'm glad we loved each other other than money, but we wouldn't have made it. Aren't you glad that? You remember those days when you started out? I think about that time. I mean, at the time we were married, I was very happy. I was so happy that, I could live in a rescue mission if I had to. I won't want to now. I know better. But if I had to, I would. You say, can you live on love? Money helps. But I'll tell you, it'll keep a marriage together. Love will keep a marriage together better than money. thank God you're at least awake this morning. I hear a little bit. Amen. I feel like I'm preaching to myself like I was early this morning after midnight. But what I'm saying to you, ladies and gentlemen, it's amazing. To live for others in Christ will bring contentment. And I found this out. Now, number three, when Paul, what Paul learned then? I can learn. It may happen in my life, but I can learn if God's where you want to be. God, please help me. There are many times he gets off because something hits us and it shatters our mind and our thinking. And sometimes even the reality of who God is slips because, God, would this wouldn't have happened if I had really serving you? I mean, if you were there. Did you know I'm glad God, as a father, lets us question sometimes things. Just like you and I as a mother and dad will let someone question a child they don't understand. But this is the thing about when God leads you to the answer, and he will in his word, then that should settle it. Like a little girl, a little boy going to mother and dad about something, if they say it the first time, they may ask you 20 times, but every time you tell them, they say, yeah, they believe it. Let them get 16, they may change, but when they're small, they'll do that. And so again, churches, like people, go through seasons at times. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 3:1, to everything there's a season and every time a purpose, he says, in life, under heaven. And when you see what Paul said in what I read to you in chapter 4, Philippians verse 10 to 13, about he rejoiced in the great and how that they had cared for him. And now he said, I don't want you to think I'm saying this because I need something to get offered. And that's why every time you start talking about how God's good and somewhere you're at, some people say, I'm just trying to get some money. Paul said here to these people, hey, it's not because I'm trying to get money out of you. I'm just thankful you did what you promised to do. And he went on. And so Paul said that it may be a long winter, but spring is coming. I know what it is to have plenty. I know what it is to be pruned when I have a little. Paul is saying, I do not know if I'll get out of prison or if I'll in or out of prison. I don't know, but I am not going to lose my confidence in the provisions of God because I know who he is and what he's done since the road to Damascus. It is not about me. It's not about Caesar in Rome. It's not about the Sanhedrin court. It's all about Jesus Christ. Paul said, I am free indeed, like Jesus said in John 8:36. If the Son therefore make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Only Jesus can do that. Amen. There's a lot of folks saying they're free. They're not free yet. In Numbers 13, Moses sent the spies out. You remember? To bring report to Egypt. The report came back. What is the report? The first thing I ask, look at this time. The report is, what is the land like? Is the ground fertile? Is it fruitful? Is it better at the place than where we came from? Moses did not ask the spies to tell him if they were strong enough to do what God called them to do to defeat the enemy. You don't find where he says, now, there's the land. Go in there, but check out and see if you're strong enough yet. God said, Moses, I've given the land. It's theirs. It's not a matter of strength. It's a matter of my word. But you're going to have to fight for it. Isn't that amazing? Could not God save one life? He could. But unless they're willing to fight for it when they get in there, they can't keep it once they get it. Amen. And God said, you have to fight for it. God is saying, don't you tell them, I'm going to go before you, but I'm not going to go for you. Well, you understand what I'm saying? It's a double language. I'm going to lay out for you. I gave you the land. I'll go before you. I'll send the hornets. I'll send everything I need. But you've got to go. I'll go before you, but I won't go for you. You've got to go into the land. It won't be yours unless you go in before the land. Now see, here, Moses did not ask the spies to tell them how strong they were. 10 of the spies came back talking about the giants in the land. 2 spies came back. Hey, this land, hey, grapes that big. Had them on a big, they're so big they put them on a pole to tote them. 2 men had to tote the grapes out of there. And so what he said about the land, full of milk and honey, was so. But on the other hand, Israel saw and heard the report about the reality of the land, but they believed a different report about the fight that they would have to take. God said, I'll go before you, but I won't go for you. You get the land, which God has already promised you, but there's going to have to be some effort. You're going to have to show me that you believe what I said. I believe that's in the age of grace too, brothers, sisters. God has left us a precious book. And sometimes he may say, you're going to have to believe what I have shown you and left you. Because that activates the portals of heaven. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Everything is not seen. And the Old Testament saints had that. But we have a chance to have it better than they did. And so again, if the Israelites didn't have the faith to enter in the land, they probably wouldn't have the faith to fight for the land when they get in there, because they're always going in an evil world, there's going to be an insurrection against them. We see that right now, right? Hey, this country would be the best country in the world, but all around it's evil. And not long before people filtrate in here, that's evil, we make us become more evil. And then we see that in life. And it helps us understand things, I believe. And so I know this. Many times we tend to size up reality according to our weakness and not according to our strength in Jesus Christ. The only reason to not expect victory that God said to Israel is that he lied about the land. But he did not lie. Titus 1:2 said, God cannot lie. And ladies and gentlemen, the only reason for us to not believe, and I say us, others not believe that Jesus Christ is the way of life, is they think he lied about it. No, he didn't lie about it. He told the truth about it. And the only thing for you and I who are saved to this, if we believe God at his word, what he says, then God has grounds for us to move by faith to do what we asked him at times, precise and sometimes in ways that are better than we asked for it. But what happens is we don't move by faith. Then it said, well, I don't believe God about this because God must have lied about this. He didn't lie about this. But listen, God never lies. Fact, he cannot lie. This book is truth. Context will show us what the truth is and how it fits us in this life. And so I've loved to study it because it's so precious. God told Israel that before they got there, I'll give you the land. Again, many times, the report that you believe will determine the future that you experience. Contentment is wanting what I have rather than trying to get what I want beyond my getting power. Or it's letting my desire to be only what I have at the moment and not what I want just because I may be able to get it. Sometimes I may be able to get something, but I want to pray about it because there might be something coming that I don't see that God sees that would hinder me from getting that so I can take care of what's coming. I believe that because I believe that in my life. I know what it is to have years, and not just months, but years to pay a hospital bill, $100 a month, when you didn't know sometimes you even had it. And I'm seeing time also close out bills because I paid a month one time, and the hospital came back, said you didn't pay it, turned over to the collection agent. I had the check canceled. I went down and talked to them about it, and they said, well, it didn't come here. And they took it out and found out it did go there. It was checked there. And bless God, after that, over, you heard me tell the story. What an amazing thing. I was worried about my credit because I know I'd paid the bill, and the check was cash. And because I went through the turmoil, they came back and said, Reverend Ennis, you're right. It did get here. We don't know who cashed it. He said, because we give you the trouble, we're going to count the rest of the bill fully paid. I said, praise God, lose the next one. I'd send you if you're going to do that. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't explain that. God, no, no. Listen, I don't say that. I'm not much a Christian more than you are, but I am a Christian. And I'm trying to work, and I'm talking about contentment comes sometimes in ways we never thought it would come. I'll tell you that. That brought contentment to my heart that day. And my wife and I rejoiced over that. And so you see, contentment is that error in life that we give others, and sometimes to live for others brings contentment. And also, listen, keep in mind that comparing ourselves with others kills contentment. God had never wanted us to compare ourselves with someone else. And I've been bad for that through the years. I'm from Johnston County. I have a perfect dialect. I know you say, forgive me, Lord. He sure missed that. No. As one person said, I just don't like my voice. But on the other hand, wouldn't it be amazing things if I'd have said years ago, like, God didn't come to me and say, well, I've got someone like Aaron, your brother, to speak for you. And you've tolerated. You know how much I appreciate that. I know I don't have the best voice in the world. But I have the best Savior in the world. I have the only Savior. And I know what he says, and I believe it, and I don't know all he says, but I know part of what he says. And there can be no complete joy, no matter how much stuff we have in this life. And so we've stopped looking at others and measure a rod of ourselves. Jesus Christ is our standard. And sometimes, in years ago, more so now, because in years ago I was younger and preachers were older, and I look at older preachers who are doing things, and I said, Lord, I don't understand it. I wish I could be like that or like that or like this. And then I listened to myself and said, man alive, I don't know if I ever make it or not. And then over the years, now I've become older. I was in a place not too long ago, and a brother came up to me, a young preacher came up to me, and said, I heard you preaching the other day. He said, I like your voice. And I like to fell over. Maybe he was being kind. Let him be kind. Amen. I'm old enough now, I need to have some encouragement. But I'm saying to you, it's not the presentation, it's what you present. See, God's power is not behind my voice. God's behind the word that comes from this voice is biblical. And that's what God honors. God never compares what he creates. If I may say something to you, when you look in the mirror sometime to get ready tonight, to come back or wherever you're going, you're an unique. There's no one else in the world like you. Well, preacher, I got a twin. You're still not exactly alike. Isn't it amazing that over the years of 6,000 plus years, billions of people have been lived and not a one of them alike. And if it goes another few hundred years, none of them will be just exactly alike. Boy, that's God, isn't it? He does something, he does it right. We can't blame nobody but ourselves. And I see that, keep in mind that all that a child of God has comes through the hand of God. Do you believe that, folks? Say amen if you do. Amen. Everything you and I have comes through the hand of God. By the way, if it don't, it ain't worth having. I say to you, therefore, do not reject the blessing from God because of burden that you might perceive the blessing. And I've seen this happen. God may want to bless someone and bless them, but there's a burden that's there, and the burden intercedes with the blessing. Anytime God blesses you, you may be a time under a burden, and it kind of relaxes the blessing. But God has a reason of doing it whenever he does it. He has a reason for doing it. And God is my source for the contentment. And I know this, the more, and I close with a thought, I did this, I read this early about 1 o'clock this morning, the more God's word is assailed and studied and learnt and believed, God's word becomes my source in life. In myself, no. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, God's only Son. Now, I don't know where you may be, and someone listens to radio, and a lot of times we get more word from radio and other places, or Ustream. I don't care where we're at in our life. First of all, we're saved, because God knows where we are if not saved. But if we're saved, he knows where we're at, what we're going through, the struggle we go through. And I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. He wants us to be content, and content is to trust him and believe him and know that whatever he sees fit to come my way is filtered through his hand. And when he filters it, I can receive it a lot better than if he doesn't filter it. Because in God's hand is always grace and mercy and love and compassion. Something I like to have but fail sometimes. And something you may like to have but fail sometimes. But it never fails with God. Why? Folks, listen. If it had failed, when God saw his only beloved son who he loved before the foundation of the world treated by wicked hands like he did on Calvary, he'd have stopped it right then. But he didn't. Why? He's loving. He's compassionate. He cares. And he's willing to let his own son receive the terrible situation in life that man would never see or have to feel. That you and I might go free. That you and I might have a loving father who cares for us. And I think, Lord, Sister Westmore was talking about the dad was a good dad, but he had a problem going to that. The fact is, though, he didn't know the Lord. And so when he tried to love, he couldn't love like you and I need. Because we need someone to see that we need that self-sufficient inside that brings something so in turn will help us control the outside. So others can see God in us. And sometimes the time that we have happen inside, it filtrates from the Word of God to our heart, is seen outside. We lose it somehow or another. And the world sees something other than God. But I've got news for you. The world never saw anything in Jesus Christ except God's Son and who he was as a man to do what he did that you and I could be free. And you're here this morning, I'm here with brothers and sisters of the Lord because of the love of God. He wants us to be content, but it's got to be his way. Things were not contented just for a season. Satan will bring things our way sometimes. That's the reason I think in this world, you see some people living like the devil, ungodly, most wealthy people in the world, and they have their done. Say, well, you know, I believe God's honored me. Look what I've done. That don't mean a thing in God's sight. He owns it all to start with. But he does say, though, that I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man have life except through me, and therefore, if you trust me, I will walk with you, and there will be some contented times. And if you don't see the contentment as it comes, your process of life, I think about God talking about walking alone. I feel the pressures. God is trying to infiltrate my mind. The Word of God is a growing grace and knowledge about circumstance. I feel the pressure. I'll be honest with you, when I'm walking and I feel the pressure, I can't determine right then what's going on in my mind, because there's a confusion in my mind and what God's trying to show me. But if I practice what he says, I find out somewhere down the path, as I carry the load, I'm going to look back and I'm going to see, I see it now. It's the light on the path that lets us see the lamp that we step by faith. Can you understand that, folks? I don't care where you're at. I want to tell you something. God loves you enough to let you look back and say, hey, that's what the Thomas was saying. I know, God, I'm dismissed now, but I look back and I know what you can do. I know what you will do. And that's something the world doesn't have. They have a God that's not the God of this universe. He have a false God. And so their false God becomes their way of thinking. And God gives us his way of thinking. And all of a sudden, we're in line. Paul could have said, I'm just well off in the dungeon, cold, damp dungeon, black, no light, no nothing down there on the mansion on the hillside. Boy, that's a great distance, isn't it? Wouldn't you like to be that way? I would. And I said, Paul, dear God, please help me learn something here. I'm not right that is yet. Please help me learn something. And I am learning. And I believe you can too. Let's pray. Stand to your feet, please, Father. Thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you for the precious word of God about contentment. Father, what a blessing it is. I was talking to one person a couple weeks ago and said, you try to be content, show content, but sometimes they said, I may show contentment that I ain't pleasing to God because I want it so bad. And Lord, that may be so for a lot of us, but it's hard to be content if we're not content. It's hard to show contentment if we're not content. And Lord, Paul said, I've learned to be content. So that's something he didn't have when he was born by his mother and dad. Something he didn't have on the road to Damascus. But in Jesus Christ, he had the ability to learn how to be contented. Please help me and help others who wants it. That when they face the calamities in life, they know on their knees before you, everything on the outside may be shaky ground. But inside, the new man has been renewed day by day. And that new creation in Christ Jesus will learn to say what Paul, it doesn't really matter. Lord, I'm going to serve you here. I want to go where you prepared for those who serve you. Lord, it's in your hands. I give you everything. And I ask you to help me be what I need to be. Lord, Barbara and I have been a lot through the last year. We learned some of this. Sometimes it's been hard to hold our head up high. We get alone and weep before you, and we wonder why, and then suddenly you leave us some messages like this that brings joy to our heart. And you mend us together with love in ways we've never known before. And the heartache we have to face. And we thank you, Jesus, for suffering our death on Calvary, that we might have your life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.